This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
They need finishers, and Catcher Reddy is a finisher. Now, the question is, can he stay healthy because he's had injury issues? But he's, again, a completely different class of player than Nino Niederreiter, who was a nice guy who also failed to score in the postseason. Catcher Reddy, when healthy, is elite in goal scoring, and you get him literally for nothing, for nothing.
You're listening to the Adam Gold Show on the North Carolina Sports Network.
The Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. That was Luke Dukakis with Hayes Permar on Friday. They did get Max Pacioretty for nothing. Future considerations. Yep.
Do we send him a cookout tray?
Honestly, yes. That might even be more than the Vegas Golden Knights will get. Well, it's just a shake. We're going to send you an Oreo cookie shake.
Okay.
Which will get clogged in the straw. But you suck it up, because that's actually literally what you do. I'm okay with it. The Oreo cookie shake is great. They need wider straws.
You've got Victoria falling out of her chair back here, by the way.
I mean,
she loves cookout shakes and puns.
We all know going in, right, that the Oreo is going to get caught in the straw.
Of course.
Yet, we order it anyway. And when the shake is over, your jaw is exhausted.
And they forget the spoon.
I don't want the spoon. My son does the spoon. He never uses the straw, which might make him smarter. I don't know. I believe that you have to work for it. And I think that the notion that you have to exert so much energy has to burn calories. Has to.
So you're burning what you're drinking.
Exactly. It's like eating celery at that point.
Exactly.
Which I think you burn more calories in the act of eating the celery than is contained in the celery.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at an Oreo cookie shake from Cookout. But that's really all it costs to get Max Pacioretty.
So, for the health benefits.
This is the second time we've done that today. How far did we come just to say that they got Max Pacioretty for nothing? All right. That's fine. Let's do the wall sound.
Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
Sometimes. So Victoria is going to be in charge of this program later in the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she's very excited.
We all are. I mean, I will just say good luck.
Yeah, I'm actually taking PTO.
For 5 days?
Yeah, so Wednesday through Friday this week, and then Monday and Tuesday next week.
I will be out Monday and Tuesday of next week as well.
Oh, so it's Victoria and Hayes?
I believe so, yes.
I might have to listen.
I'm looking forward to that anyway. So that'll be good. All right. Let's get to some wall of sound type things. In the wall of sound, you will hear a former Carolina Hurricane player turned stand-up comedian. There are jokes there. Okay, we'll get to the jokes in a minute. First, Matt Rhule of the Panthers has yet to name a starting quarterback because, are you serious? Here's Matt.
I don't see us making any major decisions at any position. I'm not putting a timetable on the quarterback position. But at anything, even like you guys asked me about left tackle, until after we get from the Patriots week. I think the Patriots week is a true litmus test for us of, hey, where are we really? You know, we're going against another team. We're practicing. I think that'll really show us where guys are. So we'll continue to split the reps, and then we'll make some evaluations off of today's tape. We'll make some evaluations after training camp in Wofford ends on Wednesday. And then probably after the game and the Patriots.
Yeah. They haven't played a game yet. Look, I could endorse after this week's game against the Commandos. If Baker looks significantly better than Sam, mm-hmm. I could see, all right, it's going to be Baker. Let's just get to it. But I got no problem with if he wants to wait until after the game and the week practice, the joint practices with the Patriots. I have zero problem with that. And it should not be any, like, I saw some criticism of Rule on social media for other reasons, but I think people are looking for any reason to criticize Matt Rule. Look, we got plenty. We just wait till the season starts, and then you go, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that?
Oh, when he calls timeout again to stop a
delay
of game?
They waste a lot of – yeah, exactly. So
like the anti-Roy Williams.
There are a lot of reasons to be critical of Matt Rule, and none of them are based on being slow to determine who the starting quarterback is.
What I found funny was, yeah, we have no timetable. But after the Patriots game, right. So that's your timetable,
so
essentially.
That's a good criticism of Matt Rule there, right?
We don't have a timetable.
We don't know when, but we'll know then.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's your timetable.
Exactly. Come on, man.
Like I said, last year, they threw it like 40 times in a game. And then after the game, Matt Rule said, you know, we're not a team that could throw it 35, 40 times. Then why did you?
Yeah.
You just did that willingly. Anyway, that's where I am. All right. I can't wait. I got to hear from former Carolina Hurricanes goaltender Scott Darling, who I didn't know for some reason was at the Improv in Cary this weekend. The jokes write themselves, folks. Scott Darling was a comedy in net for the Hurricanes. Here's Darling at the start of his routine at the Improv.
Played in the NHL, played professional hockey for 11 years. Great for me. Are there any Canes fans in here?
Oh boy.
I'm really sorry. I was terrible when I played for the Canes. Oh man. And honestly, I hate Raleigh.
I have nothing for that. I've talked to Scott Darling. I don't know, man. That was Scott Darling?
Yeah.
What was he doing stand up at the Improv for?
I have no idea.
And was there anybody, especially in Cary, was there anybody in the audience who went, my gosh, that's Scott Darling?
So he didn't get booed off stage.
How could this be funny? I don't know, maybe Scott. Actually, Scott was in studio with me at one point. He didn't have a terrible personality. I don't think the players liked him, but he didn't have a terrible personality. But I would love to talk to anybody who went and saw that show. If you were at the Scott Darling show, or if you know anybody that saw Scott Darling at the Improv, I need to know if Scott was funny. Because we all know that his play on the ice was.
I don't think your stand-up could be as bad as his goaltending was. Golly, he was bad.
That is tremendous. So, to golf, real quick. Winner at the Wyndham Championship was a rookie who technically was not on the PGA Tour. He is now. Ju Young, but they call him Tom Kim.
It's crazy. I mean, I've never won a golf tournament. Starting with a quad, it's 24 strokes later, and here we are. And you know, I played great this week. You know, it was hard to stay in the moment in the final round, just knowing that I was so close. But I just never let my guard down until I hold that putt on 18.
First of all, hit the beginning of his comment. He made an eight, a quadruple bogey eight on his first hole. He spotted the field four shots and beat him by five. He was 20 under par. He was ridiculous. He makes an eight, still shoots 67, three under par 67 in his opening round. he actually had gotten it back to one over by the turn. So he was three under over his next eight holes after making an eight on his first. He is a great young player. Second youngest winner, I believe, on the PGA Tour in like the last 50 years. Legit player, will be part of the President's Cup team, the international side for the President's Cup team. Absolutely awesome.
It's pretty impressive the fact that he did have a quadruple bogey in that same round, shot a 67.
I mean,
that's impressive.
I saw him make the turn. I saw him miss about an 8-footer for birdie on 9, and he was at that point 1 over par. And I'm like, all right, he's just kind of here. Yeah. I didn't realize that he went 8 and then reeled off 3 birdies in his next however many holes. I didn't realize that. And then I'm like, wow, he shot ended up 300. That's a pretty good round. Way to rally on the back. I had no idea that he shot it, that he made an 8, a quad on 1. So great, great, great young player. All right, when we come back, Kevin Kernan, longtime baseball writer, columnist in New York, now writes for ball9.com. We'll talk about Mets, Braves, but also Dodgers, Padres. Yankees have lost 5 in a row. There are baseball things to talk about that do not revolve around the Mets taking 4 out of 5 from Atlanta. Next. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Yesterday, the Mets completed a 4-1 series win over the Atlanta Braves. They opened up a 7-game lead in the loss column in the National League East. I don't want to make this exclusively about that. People know I am a Mets fan, but I also have a very healthy understanding of the fickle nature of baseball. But I am curious, as we bring in Kevin Kernan from ball9.com for a long time with the New York Post, wrote for papers in San Diego, and is one of the best baseball writers that I know. You can follow him on Twitter at @AMBS_Kernan, America's most beloved sports writer. That's what AMBS stands for. He was aware of what was going on at Citi Field. Was that as much about approach as anything other than, of course, DeGrom and Scherzer? But was that as much about approach and what Buck Showalter has meant to the Mets this year than anything?
Yeah, Adam, good to be with you as always. But, you know, Buck Showalter doesn't fool around. I mean, he when he brought in Diaz for the 2-inning save, that set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
From that point forward, he's all about accountability. And there's very few managers now that are about accountability. The Braves have, the Braves, don't get me wrong, Braves are good. They got a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of swing and misses. They're kind of like the Yankees in some ways, hit home runs so they don't win. And, you know, they go in that direction. So Buck exploited all those little problems. And you got guys, you got leadership. Scherzer is unbelievable, his leadership, what he's done for the Mets. And not only his pitching ability, but what, you know, he sets a tone,
mm-hmm.
a winning tone, an aggressive tone. And actually, I thought the Braves looked they looked overmatched the whole series, I felt.
Yeah, especially the last two games with Scherzer and DeGrom going back-to-backs. First time, it might have been the second time that has happened this year. Of course, DeGrom's only made 2 starts. DeGrom was ridiculous for 17 outs, then a 2-out walk, and then an opposite field home run by Dansby Swanson. What do you make of what you have seen from DeGrom over his, 10 2/3 innings?
Yeah, he's got his mechanics back. You know, he's all about mechanics. Spent so much time with him watching. I'm still a little concerned with DeGrom simply because I don't think he needs to throw 100 all the time. and that's really become, if you look at his problems, all his problems stem from when he started reaching crazy numbers all the time.
Yep.
So I think he feels, and if you listen to what he said after the game, he talked about, you know, my mechanics are really, should it be by being away, I was able to straighten some things out. And that's a good thing. But don't fall in love with that, you know, don't fall in love with the super speed. Take a few miles off. Pitch like, you know who I would say, you know, Verlander, to me, Verlander is the epitome of what you want to do as a veteran pitcher. And I think, I'm not saying DeGrom's in trouble, but there's been too many injuries lately, and that concerns me. So you gotta really step off the gas a little bit. Don't be too much like you were the last year or two. And also, I've said it from the beginning, I really think that DeGrom will leave the Mets after this year. I've said this for years now. And I think he'll go to the Braves simply because of a lifestyle change. You know, it's close to his home in Florida, and it's a good fit. So I think that's another reason why he wanted to be 100% here, because he knows, you know, he's going to be basically going to be a free agent after the year.
He will.
But again, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, Steve Cohen's going to let Jacob DeGrom walk?
Jacob DeGrom is going to get as much money as Jacob DeGrom wants. Now, when you're, and I know his, you know, I know where he comes from and things. At this point in his career, it may be more important for him to be closer to home. Now, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but my gut tells me it's going to happen.
Okay.
Simply because he's been pretty adamant about opting out, right? We keep hearing it. And he doesn't, and he's been talking about it even with the injuries, you know. So he was talking about opting out for a while now. And the Braves have shown us in the past, they will step up to sign that veteran pitcher, a la Charlie Morton, things like that. And I just feel he grew up a Braves fan. You know, I spent a lot of time with him. You know, he comes from a very small town in Florida. He's got relatives that still, you know, he lives there. He's got a lot of relatives. Kids are growing up a little bit. So it's just a gut feeling. And because he's going to get so much money. He's got more money now than he could ever spend
right.
where his lifestyle is. So, you know, I don't see him being the ultimate, you know, the ultimate guy that just does it for the dollar. I think he's going to do it for the lifestyle. And if you can get home, you know, in any capacity from there, from Atlanta to fly back to, you know, where he lives in less than an hour, you know?
Sure.
I mean, why wouldn't you do it? And they, so I think that's why it's very important. Having said all that, very important for the Mets to win this year and then patch it together if he does leave. Because, again, they're doing it with, you know, Vogelberg, and they're doing it with guys that are baseball players. And I love seeing that. And DeGrom's a great baseball player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not ripping him at all. And he's a great fit for Scherzer. But you've seen the difference leadership-wise of what Scherzer done compared to Grom. Grom leads by example. Scherzer leads by pure will.
Scherzer is a next-level guy. There is no question about it. Let me ask you about the other team in New York. The Yankees have lost 5 in a row. Is this sort of a market correction based on where the Yankees were for the first 3 months of the season, or is this just a little bit of a lull?
Some of it is a correction, but some of it is who they are. Don't forget, they haven't been challenged. Being in St. Louis, I think, is the farthest west they've been in a while. And now they got a really tough schedule travel-wise, not necessarily teams, but travel-wise, going Seattle, Oakland, things like that. And, you know, what have the Yankees shown us in the past? They get a little tired when they travel. Mm-hmm. They're older guys, and I think they're still playing with that kind of mentality. They're not as good as they showed themselves to be all year. They're just not. I mean, they can be pitched to. Judge has been unbelievable. You know, four or five years ago I was writing that the Yankees should sign Judge to a long-term deal, and then they wouldn't be in this situation right now. They could have saved themselves so much money, but he's been unbelievable. Donaldson's been a little bit of a problem. Hicks is dreadful. It's been dreadful. I don't see any way out for him. Obviously, the moves they made shows they have no confidence in Hicks.
Right.
With the outfielders they got. Gallo, you still, what you have with the Yankees, you have two forces. You have the nerds, who are catchers nerds, who do everything by numbers.
Right.
Those are the guys that signed Joey Gallo. Then you have the scouts who go out and see and say, hey, Clay Holmes, if we get him back to a power sinker, he could be devastating.
Yeah.
And now the nerds may take credit for that with pitch shaping, the whirly bird or whatever they call it. But that was a scout's deal. So the Yankees are still battling scouts versus nerds. And I think that's why you see a team that's a little bit not sure of who they are. If they lose that home field advantage to the Astros, that's a big loss because that's what they should be shooting for. And, you know, the Astros getting Trey Mancini. Yeah. Astros, I love what the Astros did. Astros have that veteran manager, too, in Dusty Baker, a la Buck. You know, they play for him. They play for that guy. They play for Dave Roberts out in L.A. Those are veteran guys that are important to have. And Boone has done better this year, but there's still too much. It's the umpire's fault. I can't believe they called that a strike. Get some big hits. And again, the Yankees having a great year, but I'm telling you, this isn't fluke that they've lost 500. This is kind of like where they are right now.
Kevin Kernan, if you follow Kevin Kernan on Twitter at @AMBS_Kernan, you will see an often mention of the word nerds on his Twitter timeline. Let me ask you about the Dodgers. They just swept the Padres. The Padres made the biggest splash at the trade deadline, getting Juan Soto from the Nationals, also getting Josh Bell. Fernando Tatis just is starting a minor league rehab stint. So at some point, we're going to have, in some order, Soto, Tatis, Machado, Josh Bell in the middle of their lineup. Are they equipped to beat the Dodgers, or is L.A. still the superior team?
L.A. is still the superior team on many fronts, and they have gotten better. Believe me, anytime you add Juan Soto, I think that was a great trade. 23 years old, older than some of the guys in the futures games. I mean, younger than some of the guys in the futures game.
Right.
A.J. Preller is. I always talk about GMs being under the survival gun, and he's under the survival gun. I said this trade would happen with them a while back, simply because Preller is that point 7-8 years into a rebuild where you got to win, you know, and things like that. So good for him that he made this trade. My only question is, did he make? You know, is Yu Darvish ever going to step up in big games?
No.
He's got, you know, his ERA. Look at it in the postseason. And back to the Yankees real quick. One of the things I point out with the Montas trade, Montas has an ERA of over 5 when you get him out of Oakland this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that I was not surprised by him getting slammed the other day. So these guys have to step up. And with the Padres, do they have enough pitching to go along with this incredible offense? Having said all that, spending 10 years in San Diego, good for them. The fans in San Diego are the best. They deserve this. And even if it doesn't work out for them this year, they still have Soto for the next 2 years at least. And I think that's important to give your fans hope. I think any team, even the Yankees, the teams that made trades, I give them a lot of credit simply because they're in on it. The trades may not work out, but they're giving their fans hope. And that's what the Mets did as well. Teams like the Orioles, joke, getting rid of Mancini. Teams like the Brewers getting rid of Hader. I mean, those – and everybody will say, well, that's the market. I don't want to hear that. These guys all got money, every one of these owners. Mm-hmm. Teams are worth billions now. So enough with the garbage. Quit being played by these teams if you're a fan. Your fan needs to go for it. And like somebody told me, I still talk to a ton of people in front offices, and they said, you don't pick your time. Sometimes the time picks you. And maybe that's what happened this year with the Orioles. They're winning. They got some pretty good pitching. So maybe this is the year you go for it and you get a miracle run. You can't design everything. You know, it's kind of like the climate activists where we're going to change the weather. Ain't going to happen. You know, you got to make some adjustments. And I think that's what's going on. The Padres, to their credit, made that trade. Will they have enough pitching? I love what the Dodgers do because the Dodgers are a team-oriented team. The Mets are that way as well.
Yep.
The Yankees are getting to there, and the Padres still are a team of stars. I'll give you a perfect example in the game last night. Soto works his butt off, gets a ninth inning walk off of Kimbrel, makes it exciting. I mean, it was an exciting at bat. And what happens? They're down like 4-0. But so he won that at bat. That gives the team lift for the next. But Machado gets up, swings at the first pitch, grounds out the short for the last out of the game. You gotta put everybody's gotta put into that effort and that at bat that Soto did. Everybody in that lineup. Josh Bell, nice kid, wonderful kid. Know him well. Bad defender. So, but from what I heard and people told me, Hosmer was at his worst this year. So it's an upgrade. So give them a week or two to get themselves together, and then we'll see where they go. But overall, good move.
Kevin Kernan, I appreciate your time. We'll leave it there, but we will circle back as we get closer to the postseason. At AMBS_Kernan, ball9.com, the website. It's all about baseball. I appreciate your time, sir. Safe travels back to Florida.
Yes, and one other thing real quick. If people can read my Vin Scully column at Ball 9, please read it because, Vin and I spent a lot of time together through the years, and I think I really captured him. I heard from Stan Kasten from the Dodgers, a lot of baseball people, so people will enjoy that one.
No question about it. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Adam. Take care.
Take care. Kevin Kernan from ball9.com.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just reading the very beginning of Shams Charania's story on The Athletic.
Okay.
In a meeting with Nets owner Joe Tsai, Kevin Durant reiterated his trade request and informed Tsai that Tsai needs to choose between Durant or the pairing of general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash. In other words, it's me or them. You want to keep me? Got to fire them. And Here's my brain works this way. Since nobody could understand why they hired Steve Nash in the first place, What we found out was that it was because of Durant that they hired Steve Nash.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What are we doing here? I don't know.
The thing that you wanted us to do, we did for you. Now you got to say either they got to go. Okay. This is when you start giving people too much control.
Look, I don't know enough about the situation, the personalities involved here, but my read on this is that Durant can't bring himself to be mad at Kyrie.
I guess.
That's my read, is that that's what this is, is that Irving, his unreliability, and Durant also has been unreliable physically, their unreliability has caused them to not win. So let's blame it. Like, maybe Nash isn't good. I don't know. But you were the reason they hired him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, with that said, we're counting down to the start of the season. And we are in Detroit to tell you all the great things to do in Detroit. One of 31 other NFL cities. Actually, it's not one of 31 other NFL cities because we have two cities that are repeated.
Yes. Really, literally, 29 other cities.
Literally, four teams play in two stadiums.
Yeah.
So, where are we? Detroit again.
Detroit today.
All right. Tell me about Detroit, Dennis Cox.
All right. You got to do the obvious things when you go to Detroit. Okay? First, you got to watch RoboCop while you're there. It's based in Detroit. You got to watch RoboCop.
I didn't realize it was... Can we, Beverly Hills Cop, too?
Yeah.
Axel Foley is from Detroit, right?
Okay.
So,
well, it's based in Beverly Hills, though. No.
But he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
Paul Reiser's still in Detroit, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got to watch RoboCop. All of them. Because they're all based in Detroit.
Gotcha.
You got to listen to Eminem or some Motown or Bob Seger. You got to listen to that while you're driving down 8 Mile Road. Because of all the things you got to do. You got to buy a Ford while you're there because that's what you're supposed to do in
Detroit. Isn't Madonna also from Detroit?
She might be.
going to look that up.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
While you're doing that, one thing you can do in Detroit, got to go to the Motor City Casino. There's a casino in downtown Detroit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Yeah. But wait a second. Why not just cross the river?
No.
And go to Windsor?
No, no. We are staying in Detroit. We're not venturing across to Canada. We're not doing that because the Lions don't play in Canada. Not going into southern Ontario. Which
that's
a lot of
fair.
People don't realize that Canada is literally just right across the river from Detroit. Like, it's right there.
Yeah, well, Canada.
Like, people don't realize that.
Canada's right across the river from a lot of the United States.
I know. But I mean, I don't think people realize that Detroit is literally one step over and you're in Canada.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's right on the. It's right on the.
Right there on the border.
Right on the border, yeah.
Also, make sure.
Canada is very close to the United States in several locations.
That last time I checked, yes.
Very close.
You can visit a speakeasy while you're there.
Ooh.
Called Standby.
I like that. I like
There's
a,
actually a
like
door
a
that
kind of
leads into like an alleyway.
Very nice.
So, yeah, it's definitely a spot to go check out as well. But you want to visit some old, get the old-time feel. And actually a big tourist spot,
right.
The Detroit Public Library. Originally built in 1865, it was moved in 1921.
1865?
Yeah.
The Detroit Public Library? Very
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it was moved in 1921, right. Though. But still, all the old architecture and all that, definitely worth checking out as well. I like visiting some of like, the old staples of some of these
it's
cities.
It's an old French city, Detroit.
Yeah.
By the way, Madonna, Bay City, Michigan.
So not Detroit.
Home of the Bay City Rollers.
Oh, there you go.
No idea if that's true or not. But look, I was a fan of the Bay City Rollers as a kid.
The Bay City Rollers, the roller derby team?
No.
No.
No. The fake rock band.
Oh.
I think they were a fake rock band.
Okay.
Saturday Night was actually a legitimate song, though.
All right.
I don't know if there was anything else. I just call them a fake rock
sounds
band.
Sounds like it'd be a roller derby team,
the
though.
Bay City
or a bowling
Rollers.
Team.
No, that would be a bowling
the
team.
The Bay City Rollers?
I think Archie Bunker played for the Bay City Rollers. No, the Bayside.
Yeah,
Bayside.
Bayside, yes.
Bayside,
Bayside.
Sorry about that.
Also, make sure you catch... I know we've hit on this in a few different cities so far, but checking out some of the old nonprofit theaters that are around. For example, the Redford Theater in Detroit's been around since 1928. They mm-hmm. host live shows. They show classic films, concerts, live music. Even people get married there. Weddings take
really?
Place. Yeah. So the Redford Theater, I think, is a cool spot to go to.
Any relation to Robert?
I don't think so. I mean, 1928, I don't think any relation to Robert Redford. But, hey, you know, it's worth checking out.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some other things you might want to explore. Maybe just pop in for a moment while you're there. For example, we got the Lincoln Street Art Park. It's something to go drive by ahead of as well. There's an African bead museum also.
A bead
yes,
museum?
Yes, African bead museum.
I like that.
Also very cool to check out. But the biggest thing you need to go, you got to get some Detroit Mini Donuts. That's right. Mini Donuts. Detroit Mini Donuts is the place to go to get donuts in Detroit.
Is there a certain style of mini donuts that are germane to Detroit?
It's just
are they
the best
squared
donut.
Off like their pizza? By the way.
No.
Underrated
not
Detroit pizza.
Okay.
Think Chicago deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
But something that you can actually eat.
Okay.
Unlike Chicago deep dish pizza, which is essentially a loaf of bread.
It's true.
With cheese and sauce piled on it.
Something that's actually in the Midwest. I'm not sure if Detroit does this, but on a round pizza, they'll still cut it like it's a square. It's very Midwest thing.
That is very interesting.
It's a very Midwest thing.
I kind of grew up with a pizza place that did that. Also,
when I lived in Wisconsin, all the pizza places did that.
Can I just give a local plug?
Sure.
For Detroit?
Miss.
Clues, Coney Island,
yeah.
Which is in the Mission Valley.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living in Raleigh, you understand where Mission Valley is over in the shadow of NC State.
Mm-hmm.
They do essentially Detroit-style hot dogs, Coney Island there. So even though Coney Island's in New York, I get it. I get the whole thing. But, yeah, they do a great job over there. So we'll give Dan over at Clues. If you're in Asheville... Or if you're in Wilmington or Greenville or the Triad,
mm-hmm.
It's worth the drive.
It is.
To come to Raleigh and hit up Dan at Clues.
By the way, real quick, I was going to go with Dutch Girl Donuts. They've been around since 1947, but right now they're temporarily closed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the owner passed away a little while ago.
So wait, like they're closed forever? I mean,
it just says temporarily closed, but they don't have a website. Yeah,
so
they've been around since 1947.
Right. Do they have mini donuts?
No.
All right,
but Detroit Mini Donuts.
All right.
They actually have where you're just like a bucket of them. They look
delicious.
Oh,
a bucket of donuts. Very nice.
Yes.
So you get we're doing a donut shop in every city.
Yes,
every
we are.
NFL city.
So yeah, Detroit Mini Donuts is the place to go. Tomorrow we'll be in Inglewood, California for the Rams.
Oh man, we doing Rams or Chargers?
Rams.
Okay,
we chose the Rams. And then on Wednesday, I'm pulling out of this Dunkin' coffee cup, the Bengals. So we're going to Cincinnati.
Oh my gosh, where they ruined chili by putting it over spaghetti. Excellent choice. All right, we'll do that tomorrow. Hey, look, you know we have not really discussed it today,
mm-hmm.
but the LIV Golf players, some of the LIV Golf players, have filed a lawsuit against the PGA Tour. And again, some of them are trying to get into this week's PGA Tour event, so we should at least discuss it for a few minutes, huh? John Nucci is a contributor to Conduct Detrimental, one of my favorite podcasts that deals with sports and law. It's actually my favorite podcast that deals with sports and the law. We talk to Daniel Wallach all the time, but John Nucci is handling their coverage of LIV, especially now that we're in court. LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour. We've had another brief filed today. But let's get to the lawsuit. LIV Golf, 11 players, headlined by Phil Mickelson, which is not a surprise, suing the PGA Tour for antitrust violations. But there's also another prong of this that I really want to spend most of our time on, which is three players also suing their way to get into this week's playoff event. So, John Nucci, what kind of case do they have to force the PGA Tour to open their doors back to them for this week and the playoffs?
Yeah, so thank you for having me, Adam. As you mentioned, this is a lawsuit that many of us kind of saw coming for quite some time. As soon as we started hearing talk of the bans and suspensions and big media feud going, kind of antitrust ears perk up a little bit. And as you said, given how critical he's been of the tour in the past, not surprising to see Phil there. There are two distinct claims here. One's the antitrust claim, essentially that the tour is acting as a monopoly and dominating the market. The other is the temporary restraining order, and that's by three golfers, Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones. They're seeking a restraining order, kind of an emergency order, seeking to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs that start this week. So the tour going to lean pretty heavily on the fact that these players had plenty of notice of these suspensions. There were talks of it as far back as 2021. Mm-hmm. They were actually suspended on June 9th. They've skipped at least seven PGA Tour events since then. So we'll see how this plays out. I mean, they essentially have to show a substantial likelihood of success on the merits in order to get this restraining order granted. The outside looking in, it looks like the PGA Tour has some pretty solid legal ground here.
They're claiming, we're talking with John Nucci from Conduct Detrimental, the podcast, which I always encourage people to go. If we promote a podcast on this show, it's worth your time. So they're claiming essentially irreparable financial harm here. Is that a difficult stretch for a judge to buy, considering how much money the LIV Tour has guaranteed players just to play on top of the purses that they're playing for, which are more substantial than any on the PGA Tour?
That's true. And not to mention, are the purses substantially higher? So, for instance, each LIV Golf event this year's purse is $25 million. By contrast, the Masters tournament was $15 million this year, which was its highest. So each LIV tournament has a $10 million purse higher than the Masters was this year. Not to mention, each LIV tournament has no cut. So the last place finisher, at least this year, was making around $120,000. So from this perspective, it seems that it's a little bit difficult for them to be able to show any kind of major injury. Not to mention, they're kind of flaunting their private jets all over social media and the LIV jets, and not exactly indicative of people that are harmed by this PGA Tour's decisions. But I mean, we'll see. Does not seem to me that they are harmed. So
right, harm. But when I talk about this, I always find that logic and legal don't always agree.
They're supposed to, but they don't. Always.
Right, and that is like I think the PGA Tour has exposed themselves in some way on the larger antitrust issue. But with regards to the players, I am curious, does the location of this lawsuit in Northern California, is that a strategic enough move that would sort of tip the scales in favor of the players? Also, you mentioned the timing. They could have sued back on June 10th, the day after they were suspended by the PGA Tour, but they chose to wait until now. Does the timing of all of this favor the players at all?
So I think the timing would hurt the players more than it would favor them. So the tour filed a response actually this morning that I just finished reading. That kind of played a little kind of heavily in their response is that the players have essentially what the tour called fabricated an emergency where they waited and they waited up until this time. And now all of a sudden there's exigency and there's emergency and we need, you know, relief right away. It is interesting that they filed in. So it's in the Northern District. There was a case about 20 years ago where the PGA Tour was also sued, and that was in California as well. It was a different district, but the PGA Tour prevailed in that case. So it's kind of interesting that they chose to file here. One more thing. So back to the actual harm that you had mentioned, the response today, the PGA indicated that the LIV golfers actually used an economist to determine what upfront payments would be required for them to join LIV, and that economist actually considered lost income opportunities. So if that's the case, and if that's true, then not only have the lost income opportunities been already quantified, but they've already been paid out. So the harm in this case seems to be merely speculative.
We don't have any documentation about what Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones were paid ahead of time. Like, we have anecdotal evidence about Mickelson getting $200 million, Dustin Johnson getting $150 million, Bryson DeChambeau $100 million, and so on and so forth. But we don't know about the three players in question. Is it significant at all that other players who could have sued to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs, a Brooks Koepka, for instance, who has not resigned PGA Tour membership, Dustin Johnson has, that Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed have each not joined this lawsuit?
Oh, I certainly think it's notable. Not only in the sense that these players are claiming, the players that are in the lawsuit are claiming such irreparable harm that it would completely, you know, damage their reputation and their careers and their lost earning potential, but not even all the players that could possibly sue are even suing. So that also featured fairly heavily in the tour's response this morning as well. So yeah, that is definitely notable. Everybody there feels they have been completely injured to the point that these other players have.
Final thing for John Nucci, and this is now back to the larger antitrust part of this, which I do think the PGA Tour, I'm not obviously not a trained legal mind, but I think the PGA Tour might have exposed themselves. If proven that the PGA Tour did exert pressure on some of their vendors to not work with LIV at the penalty of no longer working with the PGA Tour, does that open up the tour for damages in terms of this LIV lawsuit?
Oh, it's very speculative. Obviously, in this current litigation, LIV is not a party to this. This is simply the LIV golfers versus the PGA Tour. So any type of discovery that would come from that, as far at least the interest side goes, would likely not be for, I mean, we're talking more than a year. So it remains to be seen what type of damages would actually have if that was proven. I think, in my own opinion, the most difficult hurdle for LIV is actually going to be their success, at least on the antitrust front goes, because I mean, they have poached several elite golfers.
Yeah.
They pretty widely reported on in the media. Looks like they're going to have about a 20% market share by 2023. So all of those things don't exactly scream that they've been excluded from competition. Certainly not And not to mention, most of the players are also playing in the majors, at least as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of remains to be seen. We'll see. I think it's going to be very important how the major governing bodies approach this going forward.
At JNucci23 on Twitter from Conduct Detrimental, the podcast. Tell my guy Dan Wallach I said hi. I'll talk to you again very soon, John. I appreciate your time.
Adam, thank you for having me.
I get back to the fact that logic and legal doesn't always mesh very well. I have no idea how this is going to play out. John seemed, we'll just say, optimistic on a PGA Tour victory here. And I have read from credible people that they believe that the three LIV players will actually get into this week's PGA Tour event. That's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm not really rooting one way or the other. The only thing I will say is it does seem pretty crappy.
Yeah.
you left. Like, it is very possible that these three players did not get paid a boatload of money to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible. And if that's the case, then they shouldn't have gone, because the only reason to do this was money.
Yeah.
The only reason to do it was money. All right, real quick before we get out of here. The USA Today coaches poll came out today. Alabama number one, Ohio State number two, Georgia three, Clemson four, Notre Dame five, Michigan. They realized that last year was last year. This never mind. Michigan, Texas A&M, Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor, the top 10. Oklahoma State 11, Oregon 12, NC State number 13 in the country. Some of you might think that's too low. Personally, I do. But some of you might think, all right, that's not too overhyped.
Yeah.
If you are in that boat, State 13, the rest of the ACC, Pittsburgh 16, Miami 17, Wake Forest 19. No other ACC teams in the rankings, although North Carolina is in also receiving votes. App got votes.
Yeah.
Go App.
There you go.
Also, Louisville and Florida State each got a vote. How did Florida State get a vote? How?
Probably the same stooge that gave him a first-place vote in the from the ACC media.
Speaking of first-place votes, Texas got a first-place vote in this poll. Wow.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.